We're going to talk about an idea that many of you may wonder why I thought I would ever tackle. Two ideas that some of you think, well, he knows nothing about either one of those things. I was joking about that with the guys up front. I don't know any of us who knows as much as we ought to, and I was reminded as I began to study this how little I know, and I don't mean that in a funny way, about knowledge and wisdom. It was amazing to me, and I think I mentioned this the other night, absolutely astounding to me, because I'd never sat down and done a study on those words, how much I was going to have to leave out. How much God says about our need to seek after and gain knowledge and to have the wisdom to know how to use it. And so tonight we'll just, as they say, scratch the surface. Just touch on the basics. But I want to talk to you tonight about those two things and remind you that they are not just helpful. They're crucial in our Christian lives. And neither of them is any good without the other. And so tonight we're going to go to the writer of Proverbs. Solomon said in Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And then in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So if I'm not to be mistaken, if I understand Solomon right, the fear of the Lord is knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And so if you think about it in human terms, they must be the same thing, because the fear of the Lord can't be two separate things. And yet the fear of the Lord can be a great many things. To understand and respect God, which is what Solomon meant. When the word fear of the Lord, when the words fear of the Lord is used, it doesn't simply mean to tremble in fear, although I think we need to do more of that as well. It means to see God as He truly is, to have the respect for Him He deserves, to put Him on that pedestal where He deserves and put us in our place and look at Him from the perspective that we should look at Him. Solomon said, if we can begin to understand who God is compared to us, that's the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. And tonight I want to go to prayer by reminding you that those are separate things. Knowledge and wisdom are two separate things. Knowledge is the gathering of the retaining of factual information. Knowledge can be a great many things, but the word knowledge means to gather facts and information into your mind. And wisdom means to properly use the knowledge that you've gained. And many of you already know that. But I want to talk for most of the lesson tonight about the understanding we need to have about what knowledge is, what's good knowledge and bad knowledge, and how we need to seek after it. But then I want to spend some time also reminding you that a great deal of knowledge in this world is wasted by people who don't have the smarts or the wisdom to know how to use it. And I don't mean to mock anybody, but all of us have met people who have accumulated incredible amounts of knowledge, but they don't seem to be that bright because they can't apply what they know. And yet some people who are extremely uneducated in the world's mind, I have met, are extremely wise. And so tonight we're going to talk about knowledge and wisdom and the need that we have for both in the spiritual sense. So tonight I want to talk about those things, and I hope I will do it justice. As I said, we're just going to talk about it in the briefest sense. And I encourage you as we go along tonight, not just to write down the verses or look at the verses we talk about, but go sometime and read through Proverbs and those books of Ecclesiastes to talk about these ideas, because there is so much that I continue to need to know. And we need to know what the Bible says about knowledge. I want to officially read the definitions that I found for both knowledge and wisdom, although, as I said, most of you probably understood the difference when we started. But knowledge, there were a number of definitions I could find. These are the ones that I thought were the most broad-based and most applicable. Knowledge is defined as information which someone is aware of or someone collects into their knowledge base. Knowledge is also used to mean the confident understanding you might have of a particular subject. Some of you have knowledge of science, or some of you have knowledge of business or law or gardening or whatever. Knowledge is the accumulation of information. Wisdom is defined as the ability to make correct judgments and decisions based on the information or the knowledge that you've accumulated. I am fascinated by knowledge. Now, if you know me personally, that may not seem like the case. But I love what they call trivia. It fascinates me. Those shows like The Millionaire Show, some of y'all remember, where people were asked some simple questions, maybe in your mind, and you sat at home thinking, why did they have to call somebody? Everybody knows the answer to that question. They call those things trivia for a reason, because they're trivial in the grand scheme of things. Some of you have probably throughout the years played the game Trivial Pursuit. I'll give you a true story. About 18, 19 years ago, Beverly and I, before we had children, had time to play a game just on our own. And so we played Trivial Pursuit because, as I said, I love trivia. I love political trivia. I love sports trivia. I love most any kind of trivia. I think it's fascinating to see what I know, what I don't know, and I learn when I play those games. Again, maybe not important things, but I learn. So we were down to the end. She had all of her pieces of pie, and I had all my pieces of pie. We're going to the middle to answer the last question to win. She got there first. Her question was something about a 13th century Persian emperor. She missed it. I don't know anything about it either. I got there next. My question, and I kid you not, was what flavor is a Hostess Ding Dong? You couldn't ask me a question that I was more apt to answer. I said chocolate, and I won the game. We haven't played since. But you know, we understand the accumulation of a lot of knowledge can be helpful if you're on a game show, or some of it can be helpful in your daily life. I have no problem with our children and some of us learning things about science and math and all those things. Knowledge is not bad in and of itself. But you know, there's not a lot of uses for a lot of that knowledge unless you're on a game show or you're playing a game. A lot of those things are called trivial for a reason. I want to talk to you tonight on a more serious note about why we need to be concerned about real knowledge. And again, if you're learning languages, that's wonderful. I continue to say, and I continue to promise myself, and I continue to tell my family to remind me, if I never leave this country, I need to learn Spanish. Because many of my neighbors, like it or not, do not speak English. And they deserve a chance for me to tell them the gospel. Now, if I go to Honduras someday, or El Salvador, or Mexico, there's a greater need for it, of course. You know, there's a lot of good things that can be done with knowledge that has nothing directly to do with spiritual nature. I'm glad that the doctors that treated me in June had the knowledge they needed. I'm glad that the man who fixes my car has the knowledge he needs. I'm glad when it's hot and the air conditioner breaks that the tech who comes out has the knowledge he needs to make my house feel good again. I have no problem with knowledge that may not be scriptural. And so, but understand, all knowledge is not good. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, the Bible talks about Adam and Eve. Many of you know where I'm going, but again, listen and consider the instance that the Bible's talking about. In Genesis 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "For God doth know that this day, the day that ye eat thereof," remember the serpent is talking to Eve. The conversation began when the serpent approached Eve and said it was more subtle than the other beasts of the field, and it began to beguile Eve. And he said, "God hasn't allowed you the freedom to do whatever you want, has he?" Basically. And Eve said, "Well, we can have any tree in the garden except that one." And she said, "The reason we don't want to eat that one is because God told us we'll die." You know what? I've had to change my eating habits. I talked about that, I think. There's a lot of things I'm eating now that I really don't care for. But you know, somebody told me something was going to make me die. I don't care if it is fried and covered in chocolate. I don't want it. But the Bible said, Eve told him, you know, we're going to die. And that's when verse 5 comes along. "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." There's not much you can tempt a human being with that is quicker to make them react than the fact that they might now know something someone else doesn't know, or they might know something someone that they admire does know. Imagine, as a human being, if you had the opportunity. Now, we know it's not possible. But if somebody were to come along and convince you, if you do this, you'll be as smart as God. And most of us know that's not going to happen. But it's a huge temptation. The promise of knowledge attracts men's eyes almost as much as the promise of riches. And the Bible said in verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." They had the knowledge that they desired. They have knowledge. They know some of the things God knows now. They know they're naked. That didn't help them any. The Bible says Eve looked at the tree that was going to make her wise. It didn't seem to me that it made her very wise, but it gave her knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge in this world I wish I had no knowledge of. I used to be in the newspaper business. It's a depressing business. I very, very seldom watch the news anymore. I turn on the weather when I can, and these days it's kind of depressing in its own. But you know, the news is depressing because I hear about things. I'm told knowledge of things I don't want to know. I can't believe they did that, or I can't believe that happened. Knowledge is not always good. In Ecclesiastes 1 verse 18, the Bible said, "For as much wisdom is grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." When you begin to accumulate knowledge of this world, it's not all happiness. It's not all smiley faces. A lot of the knowledge of this world is not things I want to know. Knowledge also brings responsibility. And I'm just talking for now about everyday things. Some of you may know the brother in the church named Clint Morgan. Clint's married to Randy Tidmore's daughter. Clint has the distinction and the honor, I might add, of being living just around the corner from me. What a privilege for Clint, because Clint is an ace mechanic. I, on the other hand, am not. I know Clint's mind is filled with knowledge of mechanics, and when I have a mechanical problem, guess who I call, who lives right around the corner? And him being a brother, he's not going to turn me down. I know that. Now, if he wants to call me for some kind of knowledge, I'm going to help him too, but I don't know what I can offer him. But you know, with that knowledge of being a mechanic, because some of you men and maybe some ladies know these things. When you have knowledge of things, people want you to do things. There are brothers in the church I know that are chiropractors. They can very seldom go anywhere when somebody says, you know, this hurts right here. The knowledge that you have carries responsibility. Doctors have responsibility. Parents, we know that our children many times know more about computers and phones than we do. If I have a problem with my phone, I holler first for Beverly, and if she's not around, I go to Noah. Because they have knowledge. And therefore, they have responsibility to help their poor, helpless husband or father figure out his phone. With knowledge comes responsibility. Also, with knowledge comes sadness. Several years ago, I turned on the television one morning, and the news coverage was constant about the tsunami in the Far East. Hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of people killed in the moment. That brings sadness to me. When I hear about child molesters and rapists and earthquakes and tragedies, the knowledge brings heartbreak to me. Knowledge isn't always good, but you know what? Knowledge isn't always bad either. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, the Bible says, "And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh." It may not be sinful to learn a lot of things, but you know what? Sometimes it's just not helpful. Sometimes it's not helpful to spend your entire life gaining knowledge that is not going to help me one bit. Again, I have no problem if you're a PhD tonight. I don't mean to insult. I took 7.5 years to attend what they told me was a 4-year school. I don't believe it was a 4-year school, but I accumulated, hopefully along the way, some knowledge. And it has helped me professionally, and it's helped me in some other ways, but you know what? Eternally, some of those things are never going to help me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says in Paul's words, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." You know, in Paul's day, the Jews and the Greeks were people who didn't have much use for God, didn't have much use for the truth. And so Paul is telling this, he says that the Greeks seek after wisdom. And again, there's nothing wrong to a point with those things. If you gain knowledge, if you seek after knowledge of the world to a point, there's nothing wrong with it. Brethren, don't tell your kids they don't have to do their math homework because I said they don't have to. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't learn a foreign language just to make yourself a more rounded person. Those are fine. But understand that the seeking after worldly knowledge with all of your heart takes away from the time of seeking things that matter. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." We live in that world, by the way, if you didn't realize. Those things are around us every day, including the last phrase, which doesn't use the word knowledge or the word wisdom, but it implies these people do all kinds of horrible things, and at the same time, we know many of them are greatly educated, but he says they deny the power thereof. Much of the world has no knowledge of God or godly things. We live in the most educated world in history. We live in the most educated country at the most educated time in history. And yet, if you look around our nation, and I am thankful for the freedom I have, don't get me wrong, we live in a world that fits those sins more than any country in history ever has. And the very last line is true of the people we live around every day. They deny the very power. I've got a lot of knowledge, but no knowledge that makes any difference. In fact, later on in his second letter to Timothy, in verse chapter 3, verse 7, Paul said something I think is absolutely applicable today. He said, of that day and of that time and of those people, they were ever learning and yet never able to come to the knowledge of truth. If you've ever sat down with someone, had the opportunity to talk with someone about the gospel, someone that's not a member of the church, someone who doesn't know the truth, it is extremely difficult to get them to begin to listen to the truth the more educated they are. Not always, but generally that's a given thing. The more educated they are ever learning. Man's wisdom is incredibly important to them, and yet they don't seek after, don't understand, don't care for the knowledge of the truth. Paul talked about it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. We live in a world of wisdom, they think. We live in a world of knowledge. That's true. We don't live in a world of knowledge that is important. So we go back to our text. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Real knowledge. Lasting knowledge. Knowledge that matters. Again, some knowledge that I gained in college helped me finally graduate. Knowledge that I can study for helps me pass a test. Knowledge that I might accumulate out of a book might help me change my own oil. Knowledge that you gather may help you grow bigger tomatoes. There's nothing wrong with some forms of knowledge, and it can be helpful in everyday ways. But Solomon's not talking about knowledge. And trust me, Solomon knows. No man was ever more knowledgeable or wise than Solomon. Solomon had knowledge that cannot ever be measured and will never be met. But he said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of real knowledge. That's where it starts, spiritual knowledge, knowledge of godly things. Brethren, I want to begin the second part of our lesson tonight to encourage you. When it comes to Bible knowledge, when it comes to godly things that you can learn, I want us to make a concerted effort to learn more of it, to desire more of it, to pray for more of it. I want us to desire it like we've never desired it before. You may have accumulated a great amount of Bible knowledge in the past. Don't stop. Why? Number of reasons. Number one, we need it. Number two, the world desperately needs us to have more knowledge. I want to run through several verses that mention knowledge and God's attitude toward them. If you want to write them down, you can. If you want to keep up, I'll try to not go so quickly. In Psalm 119, verse 66, David said, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe thy commandments. Now David, like many of us, I believe thought that he was extremely smart and dedicated as he was young. And as he got older, as many of us do, realized how little he knew before and how weak he'd been. I think Psalm is all about the revelation in his own heart that David finally was struck with, that I have always been weak, and I've always been ignorant, and I've always been blessed. Some of us reach that point. As we get older, we think, man, I knew nothing before. I thought I knew it all, but I knew nothing. David, as an older man, says to God, teach me good judgment and teach me knowledge. Teach me facts about Scripture. Teach me godly knowledge and help me use it. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14, Solomon, again, the man of knowledge, said, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. I'm going to tell you something. We're talking about wisdom a little bit later in the lesson. But it shows great wisdom already if you want to gain godly knowledge. I'm going to say that again because I think we need to understand that. A person that desires to learn the Scriptures is already showing wisdom. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, the writer Paul said, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Paul prayed for his brethren to gain knowledge. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, the writer says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul said his hope was always, our prayers are filled with thoughts like, we hope you gain knowledge. And in that wonderful passage that we quote quite frequently in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 5, Peter said, and beside this, giving all diligence, again, there's that word that always throws Roy for a loop. Not because I don't know what it means, but because I do. Diligence means I'm going to have to work. Diligence means God expects effort. It may not come easy, and sometimes knowledge does not. Peter said, giving all diligence, giving whatever diligence is necessary. We as Christians are to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, and godliness brotherhood. And he goes on through those things, and he said, for if these things, including knowledge, be in you and abound, if your knowledge in the Lord continues to abound, along with all those other things, and they're not important, all those things, including knowledge, if your knowledge of the Lord continues to abound, that means it continues to grow. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things, faith, wisdom, knowledge, if you lack knowledge, if you lack the desire to gain biblical knowledge, if you don't have a love for the knowledge of God, he said, you're going to be blind, cannot see afar off. One thing tonight, brethren, I want to caution you about is something I began to think more and more about the last couple of years. I want us to be, in our desire to grow in knowledge, be careful where you go to get biblical knowledge. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul, again in the passage we quote quite frequently, says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure or true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He didn't mention anywhere in there the search for knowledge. But he did mention thinking on certain things. And I want you to consider for just a moment, why is it that so many of our brethren, in an effort to learn more about being good Christians, are reading so many books written by people who aren't? I don't understand that. I don't. Now, I don't know at all, and I said that as we begin, and I don't know any man who does. But I can't see in my efforts to grow as a child of God how it's going to help me to read a book written by someone who's not a child of God. They might have some very general good ideas. But at some point, because they don't believe the truth, their teaching's not going to teach me the truth. At some point, they're not going to teach me baptism is essential. At some point, they're not going to teach me about the church being the church. Because if they're not a Christian, they don't believe Christian beliefs. They don't believe what the New Testament teaches to some degree, or they'd be a Christian. Why do we read books about religion written by people who are not children of God? When the book is there, and it's not that difficult to understand what God wants us to do. Before, there were all these commentaries and books written by people who are members of the church hundreds of years ago, people who obeyed the truth. I'm going to give you a real quick story. It's not even in my lesson. I want to tell you something. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to meet a man named Lonnie. Lonnie was about 18 years old, lived in Holdenville, Oklahoma. And I don't want to mock Lonnie at all. I said earlier that many people I know that aren't educated are very wise. Lonnie never finished high school. I just still don't think he's finished high school. Lonnie told me himself that he was raised in a family where he never went to church. Now, I know his idea of church is the same as most of the world. You go to some religious place, you're going to church. But he's had no religious background. None. That's what he told me. And yet, for whatever reason, and I'm thankful to God, someday, about 2 years ago, Lonnie sat down with the New Testament. I don't know why he chose new over old, but he sat down and began to read the New Testament. For Matthew, he read the entire New Testament through, which is something many of us have not done. But he said when he finished reading that book, he knew he needed to be baptized, and he sought out somebody from the true church in Holdenville, Oklahoma to do it. Never read a book on Bible, never read a book on religion. Didn't read very many books at all. In fact, being a grammar teacher, I think there's a lot of things Lonnie and I might need to discuss. His grammar's not all that good, but his heart was good. We can understand the Bible without listening to people who aren't Christians tell us how to be better Christians. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Be careful where you get your knowledge. Number two, parents, I want us to focus, and I'm a parent and I'm talking to me. I want us to focus so much more on giving our children real knowledge that'll help them eternally. Now, I'm glad my boys and my daughter love to learn things from me and their mother. There may be some things I can teach them. I'm not sure what they are. But if you teach your children about business, there's nothing wrong with that. If you can teach your boy to hit a curveball, he'll play baseball on a team and he'll play more. But you know what? There are lots of things we spend a lot of our time teaching our children that don't matter, as my grandmother used to say, a hill of beans when it comes to eternity. Nothing wrong with some of them. I have finally got Noah really good on the weed eater. I may never have to touch a weed eater again. That to me is pretty important. I like that. That's not eternally important. He may someday teach me to use my phone properly. Not eternally important. We spend, and our country spends, and our world spends so much time teaching our children things that can be okay and good. Encouraging them to be in every organization in school. Encouraging them to be involved in everything and learn everything and accumulate all this knowledge. And yet we don't teach them the things they need to learn to stand before God on the last day. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a passage I read a lot. I'm going to read it again tonight, beginning verse 6. God, through Moses, told the Israelites, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." Parents, we have to learn them first. That's just a simple, basic idea of education. Before you can teach somebody something, you need to learn it yourself. I don't care what the topic is. God said to the Israelite parents, "These words shall be in your heart." Now, there's a big thing in your heart. Now, I've talked a lot about heart the last month because I've been a little interested in the heart the last few months. But, you know, that doesn't just mean read the Bible. That means make it yours. Love it. Learn it. Know it. Understand it. Spend time contemplating it. That's what it means to make it, put it in your heart. "And then," God said, "thou shalt teach them diligently." There's that word again. That means as a parent, I'm going to have to work. Some of you know what that's like. Some of you, like me, had parents who had to work to teach us things. Some of us are a little hard-headed. Some of us don't get it the first, second, or third, or tenth time. Some parents have to work really hard to get some of us to learn things. With some of your children, that may be the case. Some children, you tell them don't do something and they're never going to do it. They get it the first time. Some parents, we're not that fortunate. Some parents are blessed with a child who you don't have to work as diligently with. Maybe one of yours, you don't have to work as hard. Maybe the other one, you're going to put some effort in on that one. But God said, "However diligently you have to work, teach them unto your children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine eye hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." I'm not telling you you have to go home and write the scripture on the door. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But we need to spend more time with our children. I have students in school who very seldom see their parents. I think there are young people in the church who very seldom see their parents and parents who very seldom see their children. We need more time with them. They're going to grow up. Many of you know they have. Now they're still your kids. I understand that. I understand all that. But the time is fleeting. When we're with them, we need to talk about the things that matter most first. I love to talk baseball with my boys. They rag on me when the Rangers lose, which has been a lot lately. They give me a hard time. We talk about, Noah talks about things that are way over my head electronically, and I go, whatever. We talk about things, but we need to talk about truly important spiritual things. God said, teach them diligently to your children. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4. The proverb writer encouraged us to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young men, give knowledge and discretion. It's important that we teach them knowledge and the discretion we're going to get to in just a second about how to use it. But they have to begin with knowledge. You cannot teach a mechanic how to fix a car without explaining to him the parts of the mechanic, the parts of the engine. You have to. They have to know the basics, and then they can begin. You know, I'm a mechanic, and walk up to my car and listen to it, go, "Oh, yeah, this whatever thing is wrong." I'm thinking, I didn't even hear anything. I just know I'm getting 5 miles a gallon. I used to get 60. And they can walk up because they know. They have the knowledge and then they can use it. We've got to teach our children that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 7, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the foolish doeth not so." In conjunction with that, young people, When your parents offer you godly knowledge, understand it's important. You know, from time to time with our kids, we'll be talking about maybe not even a Bible subject. We'll tell them something, and you know, maybe they're not listening. Maybe they're distracted. They get that from their father, by the way. And so when I'm talking to them, sometimes I go, no. Look at me. This is important. I heard that growing up. No, Roy, look, my mom would go, look right here. Look at me. If I wasn't looking, she knew I wasn't listening. Look at me. This is important. When she said, this is important. Now, everything she said should have been important to me. But when she said, this is important, I need you to listen to me, I knew she meant it, because she didn't say that all the time. We need to have young people understand, when your parents are talking about Scripture, look them in the eye, because this is important. They have knowledge to disperse. In Proverbs 8, verse 10, the Bible said, receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Young people, don't get caught up in a world that strives for riches. Get caught up in a world that needs knowledge, give it to them. In Proverbs 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Desire knowledge for your brethren. Help them learn. Encourage them. There are a couple of writings I want to read. In Romans 15, verse 14, Paul said, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Paul was proud of them. When you have brethren who know the gospel, when you have brethren who know the Scriptures, let them know you appreciate it. Encourage them in it. If you have brethren who don't have knowledge of Scriptures, teach them. The Bible is full in the New Testament of passages that tell us to correct, admonish, and teach, and edify one another. We need more knowledge in the church, and if you have it, share it. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches, for the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and to the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Finally, I want to talk about the need for us to have the wisdom to use the knowledge. Once you memorize Scripture, once you know what God says about this topic and that topic, once you understand what God wants you to do and the things that God asks of you and the things that God requires of you, the things that God commands of you, seek the wisdom to know how to use it. You know, I love to read, but I don't have time to read anymore. I don't have time to read for pleasure anymore. I love to read for pleasure. I love books. I don't get to read very much anymore. But you know, if I wanted to, I could go find all kinds of books on parenting, and there's all kinds of good ideas on how to raise a child, all kinds of good parenting ideas. Many of them may be written by people who don't have children. And I can accumulate a lot of knowledge. But you know, not every one of those scenarios fits in my house at the right time. As a parent, I have to develop, and I need to continue to develop, trust me, the wisdom to discern how to use the knowledge I might have gained to help my children and my family. So same way in your Christian life. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, I think is one of the most powerful verses I found when I was studying this. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Makes it sound simple, like you could just go to Target. Pick up a package of wisdom. It doesn't work that easy. Wisdom is not easy to get. It's easy to find where to go get it. It's not easy to get. Wisdom takes time. Wisdom's not going to hit you over the head and force itself in. But listen, Solomon said wisdom is the principal thing. What Solomon meant was something he knew firsthand. All the knowledge in the world is useless if you don't have the wisdom to know how to use it. Biblical knowledge, and you know people like this. You know non-Christians who know Scripture by heart. They can quote the passages about the communion, and yet they don't have the wisdom to implement the communion properly. I don't understand it. There are people who can quote the passages from the New Testament about baptism, and yet don't have the wisdom to understand it's necessary for salvation. I don't understand it. That's why Solomon, who had all knowledge, said wisdom is the principal thing. You can have buckets of knowledge without an ounce of wisdom, and you have buckets of useless stuff. In Proverbs 3, verse 13, Solomon said, happy, more pleasing, content. There are a number of ways you can define that. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Again, you're not going to walk along and just happen to see someone. That worked that way. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's the key. We need to be seeking it, wanting it, asking for it. Because remember, Jesus in the book of Matthew said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Seek wisdom and you'll find it. I think one of the reasons many times we don't find the true wisdom we need is because we're not really looking for it. Because we live in a world that is so bent on knowledge, gaining knowledge, and accumulating stuff, gathering up facts and information without the sense to use it. Remember Solomon's prayer in 1 Kings 3? God came to Solomon as a young man in a dream, and he said, anything, kind of like the genie story, really. Y'all have heard the genie story. You rub the lamp, the genie. I know it's not true. God actually came to Solomon and said, tell me what you want and you'll get it. Name it. You know, I think it's a good thing God doesn't ask some of us that question. Because I live in a world that might tempt me to ask for something, something I don't need, or something I just really, really want. Pizza. Chicken fried steak. Retirement. Those don't even matter. Solomon, I think, proves to me at a young age, before God gave him inspired wisdom, he was pretty wise. He said in verse 8 of 1 Kings 3, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for the multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Solomon did not ask for knowledge, but God gave it to him. Solomon did not ask for riches, which most people, you know, I ask my seventh graders every year, if you had three wishes, what would you ask for? I'm just curious. Almost always, the first thing has money in it. Usually, it's a great big number. They like the word gazillions. I understand that because they live in a world that is just eaten up with money, material things. Solomon, God gave him a blank check, basically. What do you want? Anything. Solomon said, I need some wisdom because I don't know what to do. I'm in a spot that I can't handle. And the Bible said the speech pleased the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22 said, and King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. But you know, we don't get wisdom like that. Wisdom to us sometimes has to be earned. We got to work for it. You know, I tell people sometimes, I want patience, but I want God just to give it to me. I don't want to learn it. I've seen what it takes to learn patience, and it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of struggle, and it usually involves some discomfort. God gives us opportunities to gain wisdom. We need to take it. Jonah comes to my mind. Remember God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh? Jonah said, uh-uh. Jonah ran off to Tarshish, got in the bottom of the boat where God couldn't find him. I mean, I know that seems funny to us, but you know, people do it all the time today. If I don't go to church, if I ignore the Bible, God won't hold me accountable to it. People do that today. So Jonah hides from God. He's going to Tarshish where God can't find him. And on the way, he's going to hide in the bottom of the boat where God won't know where he is. We know that didn't work. He was thrown out of the boat, swallowed by a great fish. I believe that story with all my heart. I don't care what the world says. It happened. He was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days. You know, I've seen the bellies of fish when they're cut open. And I've smelled the bellies of fish when they're cut open. I can't imagine what it was like in there with that stuff in there with you in the dark for 3 days. When Solomon came out, he was a change. I mean, when Jonah came out, he was a changed man. Remember the Bible says while he was in there 3 days, he prayed to God, repented in his heart. God had the fish, and I love the way it says he vomited Jonah up. Not a pretty picture. Jonah jumps up and says, which way is it to Nineveh? He can't wait to go to Nineveh. Jonah learned a little wisdom. He learned that when God says do something, it's best to do it. You know, we don't like learning things sometimes. We just want it. When God gives you an opportunity to grow in wisdom, take it. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, the Bible says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. David said, help us apply our hearts unto wisdom. Help us, Lord, have the courage to work for it. We can accumulate knowledge, but we have to get to the point where we have the wisdom to use it to be a good Christian in your husband life or your wife life or your neighbor life or your employee life or to serve the church or to teach the lost or to deal with church issues or whatever it is that you need to use the knowledge of the Scriptures for. You need the wisdom to be able to use it. I've heard people in their prayer praying for me when I get up to preach, and they say this, and it never hurts my feelings at all. Lord, help Brother Roy have the wisdom to know what to say. And I say, amen. We need to seek that wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8, the Bible says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Proverbs 19, verse 8, Solomon said, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Solomon goes on and on and on and on and on about the need for knowledge and the need to get wisdom to go with it. A couple more points tonight, brethren. How should we combine all this into something I think that will help us as we leave tonight? In Colossians 3, verse 16, Paul said to the Colossian brethren, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Teaching and admonishing one another. Many of us have the knowledge to help our brothers and sisters, but not the wisdom to know when or how or what to say at what time or how to approach it. You know, the more you deal with different people in the church, the more you know you have to deal with them all differently sometimes. It takes wisdom to know that. And young people, unfortunately, it takes years, many years. I don't think I'm married yet. It takes years to get to where you know people enough and know how to deal with them enough to take the knowledge you've been gaining all those years and know how to use it. That's why elders are older. They guide us, not just with knowledge, wisdom. That's why grandparents in the church are so precious. Great grandparents are so precious, not just because of the knowledge, but because of the wisdom on how to use it. There are young people with knowledge, and some with some wisdom. But the true wisdom to truly help people takes time. In James 3, verse 13, James says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. All of you know. Traditionally, it's young people, but not always. All of you know people with bountiful knowledge that love to let you know how much knowledge they have. Buddy, I'm smart, and I'm not afraid to let you know. I know lots of stuff, just ask me. There are people like that. James says, a wise man is endued with knowledge, but also he can show it with meekness of wisdom. Many people in the church who have the greatest amount of knowledge, you don't hear a lot out of. But when you need something, they're there. And they can help you because they've gained the wisdom on how not to be a show-off or a know-it-all. That's what James talked about. A wise man can show his wisdom, his knowledge and wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30, I'm going to close with this. Never forget, brethren, wherever you go, whatever you learn. In Proverbs 21, verse 30, Solomon said, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. If what you learn is not in conjunction with what God says, it is neither knowledgeable nor wise to listen to it. If it does not agree with Scripture, you don't need it. It will not help you be more knowledgeable, and it will not help you be wiser. It will not help you. There's no wisdom against the Lord. And again, I know you understand those things, but I wanted to encourage you tonight to think on these topics, because the more I look around, and I teach for a living. I tell my students all the time. Now, the other teachers may get mad at me for saying this. Some of you are teachers in the audience tonight. I tell my students, I said, you know, I'm sure because I'm 40, almost 49, and my students are 12, hopefully I do have more knowledge than you do. But I said, you know, I don't know all the answers just because I have knowledge. I know the answers because they're in my book. And your other teachers the same way. They've got more knowledge than you, but they know the answers not just because they have knowledge, because the answers are in their book. Knowledge is helpful in so many ways. But someday this life will come to an end. And all that worldly knowledge will not help us one bit before the Lord. Understand scriptural knowledge is crucial for us to grow. But we must at the same time continue to grow in wisdom and how to use it. I heard someone say, someone who has knowledge and no wisdom is like a child holding a loaded gun. And I know people like that. They know just enough to be dangerous. They don't have the wisdom on how to use it. And scripturally, there's a lot of people like that in the world. You know people. Many of you are related to people who are not members of the church, but they have accumulated a great amount of what they consider scriptural knowledge. They can quote verses that they do not follow. They have knowledge of the scriptures, but not the wisdom to apply it in a way that will save their soul. Tonight I encourage you to think about those things. As I said, as we began, there is so much in the Bible about knowledge and wisdom and the need for both put together in a proper mix. I encourage you to study those things, but tonight we're going to bring our service to a close. If you're here and you are not a member of the church, all the Bible knowledge in the world will not save any of our souls. You can know, I don't know that it's humanly possible, but I guess you could quote and memorize from Genesis to Revelation. You can quote it and know each verse individually. And until you apply it in the way God has ordained, it will not help.